It is Friday, December 11th, 2015. Welcome to another edition of the Raw Deal Podcast right here at www.gerweck.net, gerweck.net, your source on the World Wide Web since 1997 for the latest in pro wrestling news, rosters, polls, and results. I'm the host, Frank D., and we're going to talk about Monday Night Raw. We're going to talk about Bret Hart and WWE and the Stampede Wrestling Collection. We're going to get to some poll results today. We're going to talk about TLC. This is TLC Weekend, exclusively on the WWE Network and on pay-per-view. But before we get to that, YouTube.com/Gerweck Report Podcast is the official channel of the Gerweck.net website. We have different interviews up there that we've done in the past with the likes of Teddy Long, Eric Bischoff, Matt Hardy, Beautiful Bobby Eaton. The list goes on and on. Plus, we have different clips up there from different segments of the Raw Deal Podcast and also the Gerweck Report Podcast. So check it out today. Like and subscribe to our channel. We would definitely appreciate your support. YouTube.com/Gerweck Report Podcast. And by the way, if you got a little dough to spend, it's the holiday time. It's the Christmas season. Check out ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerweck. That is the official merchandise store of Gerweck.net. 7 great designs, $19.99 plus shipping and handling. We'll get you an official Gerweck.net t-shirt or Gerweck Report Podcast t-shirt. So if you got a little money to spend, check it out today. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerweck. So let's talk about the go-home edition of Monday Night Raw, the go-home edition for the TLC pay-per-view this coming Sunday night, exclusively on the WWE Network and on traditional pay-per-view. We start the show off with gang warfare, gang rules, if you will. It is Team EV2, Team ECW, Team Extreme versus the Wyatt family versus the family, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and the Usos versus the League of Nations. Now, you know what? I'm going to tell you my comments right quick about the League of Nations. The League of Nations, I can't really take this faction seriously simply because look at how they have treated talents like Wade Barrett for years now. Wade Barrett is, you know, been conditioned as a jobber to the mainstream WWE audience. He's a jobber. And Rusev is no far behind him. Okay, and then you want to push these guys in this faction, and all of a sudden now they're an unstoppable force in WWE. I call bullshit. So the match was fun, but it kind of got me wondering and kind of got me thinking, like, why didn't they pull the trigger with these factions during the month of November when it was Survivor Series? Don't know why they didn't go there, but nonetheless, 16-man tag match. Very, very good opening match on Monday Night Raw. Fans were into it. The finish came when Sheamus went to do a bro kick on Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns countered with the spear. And there you have it. Roman Reigns pins the WWE World Heavyweight Champion in the middle of the ring. Which, you know, like I know, if you know old school wrestling psychology and wrestling booking, it means that Roman Reigns will not be leaving this Sunday as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Cool match to watch. Kind of reminded me of the old gang warfare, gang rules in 1997 in the WWF when you had the Hart Foundation, you had D-Generation X, you had the Nation of Domination, you had Los Barriquas, you had the Disciples of Apocalypse. So it kind of went back to that a little bit. And we continue on here with Team Bad with Sasha Banks, Naomi taking on Brie Bella and Alicia Fox. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, me personally, they have dropped the ball big time with Sasha Banks. I mean, here's a woman who was, you know, main eventing NXT TakeOver specials with Bayley, having kick-ass matches with, you know, Bayley and Becky Lynch and others down at NXT. And she's coming out here right now, and she's cooled off a ton. I mean, this woman is cold as ice right now. That's pretty much what it is. So her and Naomi come out to a light reaction from the crowd. The Bellas come out, Brie Bella and Alicia Fox. Yeah, for some reason, Michael Cole kept calling them the Bellas. I didn't know Alicia Fox was actually a Bella, but nonetheless, the Bellas. And they came out to no reaction, and the fans could give a damn about the Bellas. They give a damn about Brie Bella. It showed during the match when she was doing her Brie mode, and nobody gave a damn, and they were booing her out of the building. And the win came when Naomi, with that big ass, hit it up against Brie Bella for the 1-2-3. After that, the New Day comes out with unicorn horns. And, you know, I've been kind of critical lately of the New Day. And I want to let people out there know right now. Yeah, the last video, and I saw the video on tracks, and like I had all these thumbs down, like 93 thumbs down, and I think like 60 something thumbs up. And I'm kind of like, I never said that I hated the New Day. I said that I didn't find them funny. Okay, that's all it was. And they came out and proceeded to do this segment with Team Bad, which they gave them the unicorn horns, which I actually did buy. I bought those, and I bought the new New Day Rocks t-shirt. So those should be coming very shortly at WWEshop.com, by the way. And I thought the segment was fine. I thought it was actually pretty entertaining. The most entertaining part about it, though, was Sasha Banks twerking. That was the most entertaining part. I think all the guys out there would agree with me on that. This led to a segment with the New Day talking about the ladder match this Sunday at TLC, basically talking about how, you know, they don't need ladders. They have no use for ladders. The segment was actually entertaining. I thought it was pretty good. The Lucha Dragons come out for the match. And during a distraction here, Xavier Woods with the trombone gets into the face of the Usos. The Usos proceed to give him a beat down and take the trombone. This distracts Kofi Kingston. Sin Cara rolls him up. 1-2-3. The Lucha Dragons defeat the New Day, our top merchandise sellers right now in WWE. Now, in my opinion, should they take the championships off of the New Day at this point? You really don't want to mess with your cash cow, so you probably leave the belts on them. But nonetheless, I thought that this was an entertaining segment. New Day can be good in small doses. I'm going to stick to that. If you overexpose the New Day, then nobody's going to give a damn about New Day. That's kind of what's happening with me right now, too, when it comes to like Finn Balor at NXT. I'm starting to kind of get bored with Finn Balor as far as the demon persona, simply because I think they need to kind of change it up a little bit. It's kind of cool in the beginning, but now it's kind of like they need to do something different with Finn Balor, and that's just kind of how I feel about that. Miz TV with Charlotte and Ric Flair. You're talking about more confusing booking in WWE. One day Charlotte's a heel, the next day she's a face, now she's back to being a heel, and Paige is now a face, I guess. I don't know what the hell is going on with this. I didn't even bother to even finish it out. I just know that Charlotte is now the heel, and Paige is supposed to be, I guess, the babyface or the tweener. And, yeah, she's looking for sympathy, I guess. I don't know what the hell is going on here. And this is the reason why the fans don't care about these type of matches, because there is no clear-cut babyfaces or heels anymore. And I guess, you know, Vince McMahon a long time ago felt that there are no heels or babyfaces anymore. It's just that gray line right there. Well, you can't have that in wrestling. You got to have heels and you got to have babyfaces. That's the way it works. So I'm not impressed with the way they're booking the women right now. This Divas Revolution obviously is a piece of shit, if you want to be honest about it. Why is Sasha Banks not in line for a title match when she should be the number one contender? I don't get it. But that's just me. Next match on the show here was Rusev with Lana. And my God, Lana was looking absolutely fabulous versus Ryback. And the match here ended with Ryback chasing Rusev around the ring. And supposedly now he hits or runs into Lana. And that's not exactly what happened here. Lana faked it. Rusev stomps the shit out of Ryback on the outside, hits him with the accolade, and these two start kissing and all that. And you know, I'm all with, you know, showing your girl some kind of emotion, showing your girl some kind of feeling or whatever. But I don't know about Rusev and Lana with all this on screen smitten and all that stuff they're doing. I really, you know, I don't know about all that. I mean, but hell, you know, if it was Frank D, I'd probably be doing the same damn thing. But Rusev is supposed to be this, you know, big guy, and it's supposed to be this, you know, this tough guy from Bulgaria, and they're going to have a wedding in Bulgarian, and they're going to have a wedding in Russian, so that's what the plan is going to be here. And this was Rusev's second appearance during the night. Whatever. Going on here, continuing on with Monday Night Raw, we had Stardust versus Jack Swagger was in progress when we came back from the break. And Titus O'Neil was on commentary. And it's kind of like a dynamic going on here between Titus O'Neil and Stardust. I don't know exactly where they're going with this. I'm not at least a bit interested to find out where they're going with this. I think this is lame. But nonetheless, they were out there doing their thing. Zeb Coulter and Alberto Del Rio come to ringside. You know, they kind of gone back to Jack Swagger versus Del Rio here. And I guess they're going to have a match for the U.S. Championship at TLC. So we got a situation here where Jack Swagger is trying to find out, why is Zeb Coulter doing what he's doing? Why is Zeb Coulter out there aligning himself with Alberto Del Rio? I don't know either. Nonetheless, Jack Swagger gets the win over Stardust when he puts Stardust in the Patriot Lock, which brings in Alberto Del Rio with a steel chair. Del Rio nails Swagger with a steel chair. Stardust is coming behind Alberto Del Rio, and for some particular reason here, once again, what I was talking about earlier, where there's no clear cut babyfaces or heels, Titus O'Neil, the babyface, warned Alberto Del Rio that Stardust is coming up behind him and he's about to attack him. So Alberto Del Rio nails Stardust with a steel chair, and him and Jack Swagger have a jousting match outside with the chairs, which Jack Swagger got the better of him, and Alberto Del Rio trips over Zeb Coulter's scooter. And this ends with Jack Swagger asking Zeb Coulter, what are you doing, man? Remember, we the people. Remember that? So that's how that segment ends. Put a heat on the match for this Sunday night between Jack Swagger and Alberto Del Rio for the U.S. Championship. I'm actually kind of intrigued with this match a little bit simply because it's, you know, giving Jack Swagger something to do. And that shows you right there where a guy was on Main Event and Superstars past year, and all of a sudden now he's on Monday Night Raw in a featured position, a featured match with Alberto Del Rio, and actually going to be on the pay-per-view. Kind of shows you that WWE's talent pool is really lacking right now. Zeb Coulter in the back with Alberto Del Rio. And Del Rio is telling Zeb Coulter pretty much he doesn't need him anymore. He needs him to stay the hell away from him. And the segment ends with Zeb Coulter riding off into the sunset. We don't know what's going to happen with that. There's rumors going around right now that WWE is going to do a swerve on Sunday. And I don't know really how you can swerve. Either Zeb Coulter is going to be with Swagger or he's not. And that's pretty much how it's going to go. The main event of this show. Now, this is where I think people kind of got a little, you know, this was like one of the worst Raws ever. And this is kind of like WCW in 2000, 2001 with Thunder. Is because the main event of the show was Tommy Dreamer versus Braun Strowman. In which Braun Strowman got the win here when he choked out Tommy Dreamer. Not a match that I would put on my main event of my Monday Night Raw. And this was the second appearances for both the Wyatt family and Team Extreme, Team EV2, with the inclusion of Rhino coming back earlier in the night as well. And the show actually ended with an in-ring segment. And I thought the in-ring segment here was garbage. The verbal, you know, SmackDown between these two guys was absolutely horrible. Roman Reigns needs a lot of work. And I just think it was just too much damn smiling with Roman Reigns. Too much smiling, too much trying to be cute, too much trying to be like John Cena. And that's the problem right now. He's trying to be too much like John Cena. And I don't take Sheamus at all serious as a champion. Sheamus 515. Who gives a shit about Sheamus 515? I don't see it working. I'm not feeling it at all. I'm not liking the whole direction they're going right now with the WWE Championship. The League of Nations, yeah, you know what? The League of Nations reminds me of a faction that they had on one of the video games years ago, one of SmackDown versus Raw, I think it was. They had a group on there called the United Kingdom. And I think it was like William Regal, Barrett, I think Sheamus might have been in it, and maybe Finley, and they were called the United Kingdom. So that's pretty much all they did here. The promo back and forth between these two guys sounded very, very scripted, especially Roman Reigns' line about, you know, I thought the Irish liked to fight, I thought they liked to brawl, and, you know, Sheamus coming right back at him. It was just bad. It was just very bad. I didn't like it, and it did not put any heat on the match except for Sheamus once again going through a table, got a spear through a table. Which, once again, leads me to believe that at TLC this Sunday night, Roman Reigns is not walking out with the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. This edition of Monday Night Raw garnered a 2.15 cable rating, down from the 2.21 rating it got last week. So, all new low ratings for Monday Night Raw. And Triple H yesterday, as a matter of fact, did a kind of like a little press deal where he was talking about WWE creative and talking about they know they have issues, they're trying to fix them, and someone pointed out maybe you call Finn Balor up to the main roster, and Triple H says, well, I don't want to have, you know, Finn Balor come up and say, okay, you're going to be the Band-Aid. it's going to take a little bit more than Finn Balor to fix the problem right now with WWE's creative. And I think the problem needs to be fixed by firing all the damn writers. But that's just me. It's remarkable to me that a show back in the day during the Attitude Era, and I'm sick of hearing about the Attitude Era like everybody else, but you have to give credit where credit's due. That's when wrestling was at its most popular. It's kind of funny to me that a show that was written by Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara that was edited by Vince McMahon was better than what 30 writers can do. And really, the product, to me, really went down to shitter after WCW went under, and then when Stephanie took over creative, it's never been right since then. And I don't think they understand that. And it's like, you have Paul Heyman there, but you won't let Paul Heyman do anything. You just he's out there with Brock Lesnar. He's Brock Lesnar's mouthpiece, but yet you won't put any of Heyman's creative formula, creative juices to work there to better the product. So I don't know what to say about that. Gregory Helms was in the news this week. He tweeted out that WWE's Monday Night Raw is just as bad as WCW's Thunder in 2000 and in 2001, and he would know because he was there. And to that, I got to say this. You know what? It was a different time back then in 2001 as compared to now. Okay, now we all will know that, 2001 can signal really the downfall in popularity of the wrestling business. I mean, we had ECW go out, and we had the major competitor, which was WCW, be bought by WWE. And also, I think that around 2001, 2002 is when Stephanie McMahon took over creative. And ever since then, it's just been a steady decline in the ratings. So it could be some, validity in what he's saying, but I cannot compare today's WWE with WCW in 2001 and 2000. That shit was just unwatchable. And as a matter of fact, that's some of the stuff that they can keep in the vault. I mean, who wants to watch Nitro from, 2000 and 2001? That's when WCW was at its worst, in my opinion. And I have no interest in watching that stuff. So I think that, Helms, comments were a little bit of a stretch. I mean, they're having a real bad point right now creatively in WWE, but it is nowhere near WCW. I mean, WCW was just horrible at the end there. And this is the reason why a lot of the WCW's audience stopped watching the show, and they went over to watch the WWF. Need we forget about that? Got some news here on Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan recently stated in an interview that he was offered a job at the WWE Performance Center as a trainer. WWE also asked Bryan if he was interested in becoming an announcer. Now, to me, I'm like this. If they're offering you these jobs, maybe your in-ring career really is over. Or maybe Daniel Bryan is just working us and he's going to return at the Royal Rumble. Either way it goes, I hope Daniel Bryan does come back. He would be much needed to the WWE roster. He was also asked, would he be willing to change his in-ring style? And, Brie Bella, his wife, also wants him to change up his style. But Daniel Bryan is currently, in favor of doing what he's doing. He says that's the style he's comfortable with working with. So hopefully Daniel Bryan is just working this right now, and this is not the end of his career. I don't have any injury news on Daniel Bryan. I don't know the status of his injury. WWE is kind of being tight-lipped about the situation. But maybe this is all signaling to a Daniel Bryan return at the Royal Rumble. So stay tuned for that. Also, Sting. Stinger is in the news as well. Sting Steve Borton, who we all know, was injured at Night of Champions after taking a buckle bomb not once but twice from the then WWE champion Seth Rollins. Basically stating on the Woo Nation podcast with Ric Flair that he will indeed have to have neck surgery. Now, apparently Sting's neck is a mess. And they're going to have to go in there and fix some things. And, it could be the end of Sting's career. At 56 years old, I think the guy's had a hell of a run. If it is the end of the Stinger, he has nothing left to prove. And that's just how I look at the situation. The guy has, been a mainstay in wrestling here from the Mid-South days to WCW to the WWE, TNA, whatever the situation may be. And it sucks that he had to come in and get injured like this. But they're looking at neck surgery for the Stinger. And apparently, as Sting mentioned, this is the same surgery that, John Cena had. And the same doctor, Dr. Maroon, is the guy who does all the surgeries, I guess, for WWE talents like this. So he'll be in good hands. And we want to wish the Stinger a smooth recovery. And hopefully we will see the Stinger back one day. Maybe not wrestling, but an appearance here or there would be good enough for me. Got some other news here. Apparently this past Tuesday night at the SmackDown taping in Jacksonville, Florida, A woman was there with her two sons, and the two sons apparently started shouting racial slurs at Roman Reigns, calling Roman Reigns the N-word, which caused an uproar in their section of the audience, which caused security to come over and escort the family out of the building. Now, the mother was not too, you know, into disciplining her children for what they were saying. She was more into stopping people from taking pictures of her and her two sons. Now, I don't know how old these kids were. I mean, I saw the pictures of them. They looked to be maybe, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old or whatever. But it's kind of like, you know what, people are not understanding here is the type of environment in which these youngsters are growing up in, where they can freely use that word without a problem. And they gotta understand something. It's gonna be a problem when you use that word, because you might run into somebody who might not want to hear that word or might not like that word, and they will beat your ass. And that's pretty much what happened. Going on to other news here, Bret Hart and the Stampede Wrestling Collection, that big controversy right now at WWE. Bret Hart apparently owns the rights to his footage that has him in it from Stampede Wrestling. Yeah, I guess he has some type of a deal with his parents before they passed away. Well, Stampede was recently uploaded to the vault on the WWE Network and has since been removed due to Bret Hart. Now, WWE and Bret Hart are trying to work out this situation. Vince McMahon ordered all Stampede Wrestling be taken down from the network until the situation is resolved. Basically here, people, Bret Hart wants money, and I don't blame him. There's a lot of people out there saying Bret Hart's a dick, he's a bitter old man, what an asshole, whoop-de-whoop, whatever. You know what? It's business. If it was your likeness on footage that you owned the rights to, you'd want money too. You're going to let WWE make money off of you? Make money off of your footage that you own? Come on now, people. You already know the deal. This is all business. So, Stampede will be back up very shortly. I mean, they recently added NWA World Championship Wrestling. They've added Global Wrestling Federation. They've added Mid-South Wrestling. They've added Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And some of those New Jack promos from back in the day in Smoky Mountain. My God, that is the shit. You got to check that out. Got some poll results here from Gerwick.net. Will you purchase the Owen Hart DVD? 60% says no, while 40% says yes, they would. I'm kind of on the fence right now about buying the Owen Hart DVD. I'm on the fence because I'm not sure if I want to go through all this stuff all over again. And I'm pretty sure, you know, you got to tell the Owen Hart story. You got to mention his death. And I've avoided, you know, watching Over the Edge 99 of the network. I have avoided watching the Raw tribute show the night after Owen's death. I just don't want to see that stuff. So I'm kind of on the fence about buying it. I don't know yet. But if I do buy it, I will update here on the Raw deal and let you know. Another poll up right now is pro wrestling dead. 51% of the readers at Gerwick.net believe pro wrestling is dead, while 49% say they don't believe pro wrestling is dead. Me, personally, I think wrestling is dead. I don't think there's ever going to be another boom period in the business. I think it's done. Without competition, WWE is lax. So, I mean, look at them right now. And I don't want to hear shit about it because, you know what? TNA is not competition to WWE. At one point, they could have been. They're not. All right? And once again, I don't even know if it's on Pop TV. I don't give a damn if it's on MTV. I don't care if it's on Miz TV. I'm not watching the dead brand. Period. Also, who wins at TLC? Is it Sheamus or Roman Reigns? 66% of the readers at Gerwick.net believe Sheamus will retain the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, while 34% believe that Roman Reigns will recapture the gold. Me, personally, I'm going with Sheamus on this one. And also, should Nick Bockwinkel be inducted into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame? Nick Bockwinkel, of course, WWE Hall of Famer, former AWA World Heavyweight Champion, one of the best talkers ever in the business, passed away recently. And 85% of the readers at Gerwick.net voted that Nick Bockwinkel should go into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame, while 15% of those readers say no. I'm going for it. He should go in. Bill Goldberg will be making an appearance, a rare appearance, by the way, at a Legends of Wrestling event coming up on January the 23rd in Florida. Now, if you would like to go meet Bill Goldberg and other legends like Big Sexy Kevin Nash, Mick Foley is going to be there as well as others, go to thelegendsofwrestling.com for more information. Tickets start as low as $35. So you go up there, you can meet Bill Goldberg and ask Bill Goldberg, hey, Bill, why aren't you in WWE? Hey, Bill, why aren't you coming to TNA or something? You know, also in the news is Mick Foley. Just mentioned him a minute ago. So apparently Mick Foley's son, Dewey Foley, is going to be starting up with WWE very shortly as a creative assistant. Now, this has kind of gotten a backlash on Mick Foley because Mick Foley, you know, the last few weeks he had been really criticizing WWE very, very hard and very harshly, almost to the point where he says that he was, you know, going to not be a fan much longer of the WWE if they kept on what they were doing, and all of a sudden now his son has a job there. Now, I don't have a problem with his son having a job. I think that's kind of cool to work for WWE. You're following your father's footsteps, not so much in the ring, but you want to help out creatively, and apparently Triple H is a fan of his ideas. The problem I have with the situation is simply this. If it was myself or Joe Schmo or anybody else, we would not get the same opportunity, okay? Now, Mick Foley asks, hey, where do I send emails, you know, of his samples and all this other shit that he was writing? Well, they gave him the email address. Well, you know what? If it was like myself or somebody else, we would not be able to just email writing samples to WWE because WWE doesn't accept that type of material from fans. It says it on its website, okay? So if Dewey Foley, is Dewey Foley a wrestler or is Dewey Foley a fan? I think he would be a fan. So there's a double standard there. But you know what? It's Mick Foley's son. Nonetheless, that's my two cents on the situation. Don't be mad at Mick Foley for doing what he had to do to get his son into the game, get his son into the business. But I'm just saying, if it had been me or anybody else, we would not get the same opportunities. And finally here, New Day apparently is one of the top merchandisers right now in WWE. New Day has been pushing out unicorn horns and t-shirts and more t-shirts. Well, you know what? I bought the unicorn horn and I bought the New Day Rocks t-shirt the other day on WWEshop.com. So I'm a New Day fan. I just think that too much New Day is not a good thing. And you're going to kill it. You're going to overexpose them. And I'm like this. If you watch the New Day, is it a ha 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 ha? Or is it a ha ha? Or is it like, huh? That's the kind of reaction that I get when I'm watching them. Because it's really not funny material. It's not them. I think Kofi, Big E, and Xavier do a hell of a job. It's just the poor writing. It's the problem. And that's why I got ripped to shreds for that shit on tracks. I got ripped to shreds from people like, what the hell is this guy talking about? I mean, come on, people. You know like I know. I mean, New Day is entertaining, but you ain't bawling out laughing and shit like you. I mean, come on now. Really? So anyways, New Day is a hot merchandiser in WWE. They're a top merchandiser. I think they might be up there with John Cena right now as far as merchandise goes. So that's why they're getting pushed the way they are. And nonetheless, expect more New Day shipments to roll out. As a matter of fact, last time I checked, the New Day unicorn horns are sold out. They're back ordered until the 18th of December. So if you haven't gotten one, you might want to order one now. Superfly Jimmy Snuka will stand trial in 2016 for the murder of Nancy Argentino. Nancy Argentino was his mistress that he murdered in 1983 when he beat the shit out of her. And I hope Superfly Jimmy Snuka is convicted of this. I hope that the jury doesn't have any sympathy because of his current condition. Okay, Mr. Oh, I don't know where I am or whatever the situation may be. Yeah, I was a damn woman beater. That's just pretty much what it is. He was a woman beater and a pussy. And that's how I look at it. I'm going to give my TLC predictions right now as we close out the Raw deal. My opinion for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship is going to be a TLC match. You got the reigning champion Sheamus taking on Roman Reigns. Once again, wrestling booking, one-on-one. The last person to go over on TV is usually the one who loses. So I'm going for Sheamus to retain the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. We have a ladder match, triple threat ladder match for the WWE Tag Team Championships. We have the New Day defending against the Lucha Dragons and the Usos. And I'm going to have to go with the New Day. You have to have the New Day retained. And this is what it is. New Day is selling all this merchandise right now. Why have them lose? Okay, so I'm going to go with the New Day to retain the Tag Team Championships. Remember, there's three New Day members and only two members of their teams. So I'm picking the New Day here to win. For the WWE United States Championship in a chairs match, we have Jack Swagger going up against the reigning champion, ADR Alberto Del Rio, with presumably Zeb Coulter in his corner. Now, WWE is saying there's going to be a swerve here somewhere. We'll see what the swerve is. But either the swerve is going to be he's going to stay with Del Rio or he's going to go with Swagger. One or the other. I mean, it's not going to be much of a surprise. Whenever it happens, it happens. For the WWE Women's Championship, we have Divas Champion Charlotte taking on Paige. This is a rematch from Survivor Series and from Monday Night Raw. I guess this week Charlotte's going to be the heel and Paige will be the babyface. Neither way it goes, Charlotte's going to retain the championship. Why take the belt off of Charlotte now when you're pushing her as a heel? Makes no sense to me. Intercontinental Championship will be on the line as Dean Ambrose will take on the defending and reigning champion, Kevin Owens. This one's kind of tricky because I would have thought that we would have had these kick-ass monster matches with Kevin Owens as the Intercontinental Champion, and that hasn't exactly happened. Dean Ambrose, I'm not a fan, but I do realize that he's pretty popular. So what do you do here? I would just put the strap on Dean Ambrose and let Dean Ambrose carry it and have Kevin Owens chase him. That's what I would do. I don't know what happened during the contract signing on SmackDown because I don't watch SmackDown. But nonetheless, I'm going to go with Dean Ambrose for this one. We also have another match here. Team EV2, Team Extreme, Team ECW of Tommy Dreamer, Rhino, and the Dudley Boys taking on the Wyatt Family. Wyatt Family has to go over here. Wyatt Family needs to go over in this match. It's going to be a tables tag team elimination match. The Wyatt Family needs to win. Wyatt Family was destroyed last month by the Brothers of Destruction. So they definitely need to win here. They need to win here more than the Dudley's. Tommy Dreamer and Rhino do. So I'm going to go with the Wyatt Family on this one. And finally, Rusev versus Ryback. I'm going for Ryback here. Ryback is going to win this match simply because there's so much nuclear heat right now on Lana and Rusev because of that, you know, engagement shenanigan they pulled on TMZ. So I'm going to go with Ryback to get the W here. And last but not least, if you don't have WWE Network capability, if you're not ordering a show on pay-per-view, hey, check out Gurick.net. We're going to be providing blow-by-blow coverage of the TLC pay-per-view right here on the website. So check it out. And also, don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/GurickReportPodcast. I hope you have enjoyed this edition of the Raw Deal Podcast. I'm Frank D, and I will catch you next time here on the Raw Deal.